We open with hymn number 517. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee,
and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. For you, O Lord, are good and and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. be with you.
And with thy Spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who did send thy Son to be made flesh, that by his death he might atone for our sins and deliver us from eternal death, we pray thee confirm in our hearts the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ, who with but a word raised the widow's son, in like manner will raise us on the last day, and grant us eternal life through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 16th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 5th chapter of Job, the 17th through the 26th verse. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the earth shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall deliver your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
The nations fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory.
The epistle lesson is found in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, the 13th through the 21st verse. Therefore, I ask you that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia. Alleluia. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Alleluia.
Gospel for this day is found in the 7th chapter of Luke, the 11th through the 17th verse. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gates of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. And then fear came upon all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn 597.
For me to live is Jesus.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 7th chapter of Luke, the 11th through the 16th verse. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God hath visited his people." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, the Lord of life, amen. Death is an ugly thing. Death is an offense to God. Death is the ultimate expression of the curse that came upon all men at Adam's fall. Our Lord Jesus hates death. Death is his enemy. When he sees death, he weeps. He is moved to compassion, for he has come to banish death. He banishes it when he is urged by desperate parents whose children are ill, or masters whose servants are sick, or dear friends such as Mary and Martha when their dear brother Lazarus had died. He banished it once and for all when he took death into his own flesh. He submitted himself to that enemy so that with his death upon the cross, he became the death of death. But death is still with us, and it can overtake any of us at any time. It comes to the young and the old, slowly or suddenly, and people blame all sorts of things for death. Carelessness or the luck of the draw, an angry God or sudden outbursts of anger, war, starvation, old age, or even self-defense. But these are not the cause of death. These are only the means of death. They cannot explain why it is that what God has made good and perfect, even immortal, now must die. Every external cause of death finds its common root in only one thing, and that is sin. Sin causes all trouble in this world, all suffering, all wars and poverty and disasters. Sin and death are never apart. They're always together. So that the word that God spoke to Adam and Eve, "On the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die," was fulfilled on that very day. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men." All must finally deal with death. Sometimes we must deal with the death of the young, and that is especially hard. Christian parents do not escape such death just because they are Christians. And even though we know that those who die in the Lord are blessed, death is still a bitter foe. It is right to shed tears at the death of a loved one. It is right to show compassion and sympathy for those who mourn such a death, to join them in their mourning, to endure with them the bitterness of the reality of death. Remember the tears of our Lord Jesus when he faced the death of his friend Lazarus. He shows us with those tears that though death must come, God does not desire it. And now today we see Jesus once more moved to compassion when he sees death pass by. We see a strange thing on that day. We see Jesus coming near the city with a large crowd of people, and another large crowd coming out of the city, which is obviously a divinely ordained meeting on that day of death and life. You see, a young man had died, and he had left behind his grieving mother. Her grief was especially bitter because she'd already endured the death of her husband, and now she must endure the death of her only son. It could hardly be any worse for her. A large crowd of people followed, sympathizers, mourners, and yet what could they do to assuage such grief as hers? What do you say to a person who has lost everything? Yes, there is the hope of the resurrection, but in the meantime, this poor woman would spend her remaining days in mourning, no doubt hoping for her own death. How bitter indeed is this old enemy, even when it strikes believers. As Jesus watches her son being carried out of the city in an open coffin, a box carried with poles, just much like the coffins that we carry today, Jesus is moved to compassion. He sees her tears, and he knows that they are justified, and yet he tells her, "Do not weep." How often it is that when we are confronted by death in this world, we are approached by many well-wishers giving their condolences. But what does that mean? Is it compassion to say, "I'm sorry for your loss"? Well, it's actually very easy to say that and then move on. Glad that it is their loss and not our loss. Think back on the last time you heard of a shooting or a tornado, a fire in some neighborhood where death had come. And your first impulse is to find out where it happened, and upon hearing that it is not in your neck of the woods, to be relieved, thinking, "I'm glad I'm far from there. I'm glad my loved ones are far from there." And that is the honest truth. We may show compassion with words, but far too often, what our hearts mean is, "I am glad I am not you." But it is not only in confronting death, but also in every other place where the consequences of sin are on display. Where men are hungry or homeless, we're likely to think that we're compassionate people if we give them some money or a meal. So often has money become associated with compassion these days that it's far too common that people think that as long as they pay their taxes willingly, they're showing compassion for the poor. After all, the government will take care of them as long as we provide the means. Such compassion is cheap. It's really a fraud. Americans are known as the most charitable people in the world, but how much of our giving is truly driven by compassion? Too often we give so that we can keep the needy and the poor and the lonely and the outcasts at arm's length. Let others do the dirty work, we'll pay for it. How true what the prophet Isaiah declared, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But Jesus shows us something far different. His compassion is true. It is genuine. He does not keep the poor and the sick or those who mourn at arm's length. He sees the widow weeping and he is moved to act. He steps forward and he touches the coffin. According to the old law, that means that you were now unclean to touch either a dead body or even the coffin in which the dead man was being carried. Meant that you now had to go through a cleansing ritual and separate yourself from others. And so people avoided such contact at all costs, if they possibly could. And yet, Jesus does not avoid it. Now, this law was part of the law of Moses so that God could show Israel the nature of sin, how it corrupts everything that it touches. And yet Jesus goes where sin is. He goes where death is. And he is not afraid to touch it, to go where death has done its worst. He looks that ugliness in the face, and he gets to work. Now that is true compassion. To go and experience for yourself the dread consequences of sin that other people bear. To visit the fatherless and the widows. To minister to the sick and the dying with your own hands. Where we have failed to help, where help is needed. To dirty our hands and help our neighbor deal with the consequences of sin. Our Lord Jesus jumps right in, for this is his calling, to end the reign of sin and death. Wherever death strikes, there is Jesus, because he has the antidote. This is his office, to go where death is, to confront death as the enemy that it is, to take death into his own body, and to make his own flesh and blood bear the ravages of that death. He goes where sin and death have done their worst. He is crucified as he bears the sins of the world. And he overcomes death, and he conquers the grave. And so where we fail to show compassion, Jesus not only shows true compassion, he shows it perfectly, and then he does what no one but he can do. He does not merely comfort the woman or cry with her. He brings life where there once was death. He says, "Do not weep." He uses his almighty words, and he says to the dead body, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. "Here is why you should weep no more. Jesus has come to bring life." Jesus has given this woman the life of her only son, even as the Father has given you, Jesus, the life of his only son. You see, where we are heavy laden with our sins and showing compassion only in selfish endeavors, failing at every turn to provide real and effective help and comfort, failing to sacrifice for the sake of our neighbor, Jesus not only does these things perfectly, but in doing so, he shows himself to be our Lord and the Lord over death itself. His compassion is so great, it does what human might cannot do. It goes beyond death to the grave, and from the grave he brings forth life. He is your Savior and Redeemer. He will take your death also, and he will bring you to life. Even when you are dead in your trespasses and sins, Jesus gives you life with his voice. He calls to you, "Believe in me. I take your death away with my own death. Arise. I give you everlasting life." Are we able to show such compassion to our neighbor? Not for ourselves, not by ourselves. We might go where the trouble is and get our hands dirty, but we don't have the compassion of Jesus. We do not have his power to save. By ourselves, we can help our neighbor, maybe out of a guilty conscience, maybe in the hope that the world will think better of us, or maybe that God will. Or maybe as we should, we do so because we are grateful for the wondrous salvation that God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Yet even if we had true compassion without Jesus, we are not lords over death. We're powerless against that enemy, and all of our comforts must ring hollow. The crowd that surrounded the woman could do nothing to bring back her son. We need one who has the strength to overcome death. One who comes to us, especially at that time when we can see absolutely no help or hope. For that woman did not seek out help. How could she possibly expect to happen what happened? That life would come to her when only death was certain. We need that one who comes to us then. One who can wipe away the tears and give us hope where there was only despair. That is what the people of this world need, and that is the greatest compassion that we can show them. We can show them the one who has the power over their death. We can show them Jesus and give them the love by which sin is washed away and death is conquered. For the same Jesus who raised the widow's son to life has come to us through his word and his preaching and in his sacraments. And we are his church, we are his body, the same body that died and is risen again. By ourselves, we can only offer cold and empty comfort. But we are not alone. We have Jesus, and therefore we can show true compassion to our neighbor. Only Jesus has given himself for the remission of sins. He alone has exchanged his death for ours. The enemy is vanquished. Death is now but asleep. And though our bodies die the death of all men, we also, like the young man, shall awake on a new morn. And when we awake on that day, we shall no longer bear the taint of sin and death, but we shall have the likeness of our Lord Jesus. With our money, we might alleviate our neighbor's troubles for a while. And it is good that we do so when we can. But with the name and mercy of Jesus, we can offer them an end to death itself. That is the greatest work that Jesus does. When he raised the young man at Nain, the people rightly praised him, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us. God has visited his people." And still today, God visits us. Jesus gives life to those who would certainly die forever unless he intervened. Jesus in our day goes where sin is. He faces our uncleanness without flinching. He did not turn away from the cross, where he must bear our sins and pay the cost of our redemption. And he does not turn away from your sins today. He is still the innocent one, and yet he became guilty in order to suffer and die our death. He came to us while we were yet in our sins, and he touched us with the waters of baptism. And where we in our death were dead and unclean, he made us pure and alive. And he said to you, "Arise." And with him we arose. Our old man was crucified with him. And the new man came forth, who lives before God in righteousness and purity forever. Here then is the compassion which we have to give to the poor and the lonely, the destitute and those who suffer. Be glad to help your neighbor through works of love, but be gladder still to show them the compassion of Jesus, by which he has taken away their sin and death. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, we worship thee for thy manifold wisdom and mighty works, and thy perfect holiness. But we especially praise thee for our reconciliation to thee through the suffering and death of thy dear Son, which thou didst prepare for us in eternity, that we through faith in him might confidently bring to thee our prayers and petitions. Out of thy surpassing goodness, grant thy Spirit unto us, who ever need thy help and mercy. Give to us the right knowledge of thy majesty and power, and the holy fear which is the beginning of wisdom. Reveal unto us thy grace by providing for the wants and needs of this present life,
and let thy mercy descend upon us as morning dew, and grant us life, health, and contentment. Deliver us from every danger to body or soul. Above all, we entreat thee to look upon our spiritual frailty, which we are powerless to remedy, and strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit with sure faith in Jesus Christ. Grant unto us the conviction of thy pardon and peace in his blood, that our wills might be made subject to thine, and all of our actions might be motivated by faith and love. Let the exceeding love of Christ pervade thy church, that it may flourish in love for the brethren, and increase in every good work. May it show forth the exceeding greatness of thy love, which is as broad as all mankind, as long as eternity, and as deep as any human need. Bestow upon the nations of the earth such knowledge of thy glory, that they may turn to thee, the only God, and thy Son, Jesus Christ, and find salvation. Grant also thy favor upon this land, that multitudes within her borders may turn from evil and come to faith and be filled with all thy fullness. And as thou art able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, enlarge our trust so that we may unfailingly come to thee in prayer with believing hearts, beseeching thee for all our wants and needs. Give a special measure of thy power to those who are in sorrow or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive thy blessed aid. And although we have deserved thy chastening and correction, help us to receive them with faith, knowing that thereby thou art in love preparing us for that joyful communion with thee, which is to be for all eternity. We ask these things, O God, through our Redeemer and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing hymn number 590.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus, shed for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endureth forever.
O
God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 45. Keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.